I made my way to the basement. Since I had just replaced the crystals in the machine, I only took two extras in my backpack. The nervousness of my first couple trips was gone. Now I just set the latitude and longitude and started pedaling. I decided that I didn't want to miss anything the day of the surrender, so I set the date and time for the afternoon before. Saturday, April 8th, 1865. The excitement of actually picking a destination and time in history was giving me a whole new set of butterflies in my stomach. What if I really got to see Robert E. Lee or Ulysses S. Grant? I tried not to think of the possibilities and just pedaled. The part of the trip that I didn't like was the spacey, weightless feeling that comes just at the point of traveling through time. I have never liked to be dizzy, and there was that moment on every trip so far I have felt like I would throw up. The machine landed on the edge of a grove of birch trees. Several of the trees had been cut down and stripped of their branches. Piles of branches had been stacked up on the path leading from the grove. I pushed the machine off to the side of the piles and used some of the longest and leafiest branches to cover the machine. It was nearly dark, and as I stood on the edge of the meadow quietly listening, I could hear the sound of someone playing Aura Lee on harmonica off to my right. A friend of my dad's told me it's where Elvis got the idea for Love Me Tender. Across the meadow to the east, I could see the flickering of campfires through the trees. One way was the Union Army, and the other, the Confederates. I had no idea which way to go. Suddenly, I heard a thunderous roar of sound coming from the woods towards me. Not knowing which way to turn, I ran back and crouched down behind the pile of branches next to my machine. As the sound grew louder and closer, I realized it was the hooves of horses approaching at a gallop. With an explosive rush of horsepower, men in dark blue uniforms came riding out of the trees. 4, 5, 6 big horses and riders came into the meadow. The man in front of the group raised a white-gloved hand, and the horses came to a stop. "The Reb's main camp is over there next to that orchard. I don't believe they came through here," the man shouted. "Miller, you and Carson go through there. The rest of you come back around with me. Do not engage the enemy. If fired upon, run. Grant will have our hide if we start a battle. We are just supposed to chase off any stragglers. Understood?" As suddenly as they appeared, the horsemen rode off into the trees on the far sides of the meadow. I waited for several minutes, then moved toward the campfires. As I got closer, I could see groups of men sitting around the fires. Some were smoking, some were talking, and some were just staring into the fire. Their rifles were standing in groups that looked like teepees without skins, or leaning next to them on the logs where they sat. The camp was very quiet. Not far from the edge of the trees, two sentries stood talking. Neither noticed me as I entered the camp. There was a path that divided the camp into two sections. Tents were set up on the left side, and several dozen campfires spread across a wide meadow cast orange light onto the hundreds of men camped around them. Off to the right was the fruit orchard the Union officer had spoken of. About 20 horses were tied to a rope strung between two trees. Several wagons were parked end to end, making a kind of wall against the trees. Apart from everything else, and sitting in a cleared area, was a large tent that seemed to glow from the light inside. This must be General Lee's tent. In front of the tent were several armed sentries. Unlike the others in the camp, these men were alert and focused. They did not talk to each other, and they constantly scanned the camp. I stood as tall as I could and walked to the far side of the tent and approached it from the back. As I got closer, I noticed a large fire and several men who were not wearing uniforms behind the tent. Over the fire, an animal was cooking on a huge barbecue spit, and a boy younger than me was turning the handle that made it rotate. Two long tables were set up just beyond the fire pit area. It seemed to me that these people would be the most approachable. As I approached the group, I could see that all the workers around the fire were black. A tall, thin man with a thin beard seemed to be in charge. As I neared the fire,